Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave. Laughing already. Here's why. We always are just a little surprised at some turn of events in a different kind of show per day, per Tuesday or Thursday, at which time Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy occurs. Today might be just one of those days where it takes on a different flavor. Here's why. Past 24 hours or so, I heard back from Renee Marie, who is one of the coolest vocalists on the planet. This is no joke. She's doing a tribute to Eartha Kitt, her CD from last year, oh my God, called I Wanna Be Bad, with love to Eartha Kitt, did so well, monumental singer. She's going to be in the Baltimore area this weekend. I'll tell you all about it. She might be stopping by this hour. If she does, wonderful. If not, I completely understand. She's got a full plate, and she has to pick up her husband at the airport. Did I just tell you that things might take a different turn on the show? Yeah, just in the past 24 hours. Next hour, Patrick Yandel is coming up here, calling from San Diego, California. Indeed, indeed. Can't wait for the little birthday celebration to begin. In the meantime, let's do something spectacular. Cannonball Adderley and Company, Autumn Leaves on Hybrid Jazz. Thank you. That's 11 minutes and some seconds. Isn't that sweet? Oh, my God. Hey, you know, the other day when Walter Beasley was here, if you happen to notice what he said, very interesting conversation. It was Lynn Fidmont and Walter, and then Lynn had to leave, and then Walter stayed. And he mentioned about these great legendary folks in our midst, and one of the things he said was that he believes that Gerald Albright has such great success because he sounds so much like Cannonball Adderley. Very interesting. Cannonball Adderley there from 1958 when he was in the Miles Davis Sextet with Sam Jones on bass, Art Blakey on drums, Miles as a side man, and Hank Jones on piano, who, by the way, interesting aside, was the piano player when Marilyn Monroe sang Happy Birthday to President Kennedy in 1962. Just found that out within the past 48 hours. Let us turn our attention to a lady who is making time for us today, and I am so thrilled. I'm a fan. Here is why. Not only is she one of the true, authentic, scintillating, full, robust talents who was worthy to call herself a jazz singer, but she does a whole lot more. She brings so much to that whole idea of being a singer that she teaches folks how to do it right, you know? If you go to her website, you're going to see all about slam. I'm not going to say another word. I'm going to introduce her as the singer and the actress and the writer she is. She has taken a long time to get to this point. One of the most interesting backgrounds I've ever heard. This is Renee Marie. Girl, how are you?
Trish.
How are you?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I sure can. I'm so tickled that you're there.
I am here, girl. You got it going on.
Hey, wait a minute. You look in the mirror. You got it going on. Are you kidding me?
You have all these facts and figures about Gerald Albright and Cannonball Adderley.
Well, look,
and
you know what?
Jones and Marilyn Monroe. That was
you
awesome.
You just got to let folks know what's going on because jazz is real, real important to so many of us, and we want to know some things to relate to. And this is what makes you so interesting in this whole music industry, because Renee, you waited a long time to be heard. This is what fascinates me so much about you, because you were like this caged bird, and then you flew away.
Wow. Aren't you? Wow. That's some of what you said is quite accurate. But the thing is, I wasn't really waiting so much as I was just being a wife and a mom. And right at the right time, when my oldest son was already in college and my youngest son was getting ready to graduate from high school, my oldest son came to me and convinced me that I needed to start singing in public.
Wow.
So, you know, I did a lot of singing at home and when friends would come over, and I was always composing little songs for my sons when they were little, and then other songs for my mom, my dad, brothers. You know what I mean? I was always doing that. So it didn't really feel like I was just kind of twiddling my thumbs, waiting like, oh, I don't want to do this. But I was doing what I could for where I was at the time. And
well,
it was very fulfilling.
Didn't I hear that, and this is what hurts me about you, because I love your voice so much. You take command of everything. If you were on the screen and you came on the in a particular scene, you would steal it. That's how your voice is. you're so formidable. You own a lyric when you sing it. It's like nobody else sang it before you. And you know, if you went to your Amazon page and saw all the different kinds of accolades people gave you with this latest release, this tribute to Eartha Kitt, have you read all of them, Renee?
I have an Amazon page.
You do.
I have an Amazon page.
When you go to see the recommendations that people make on this CD, it's mind-blowing, because people feel as though they've discovered gold since they've heard you.
Oh, my goodness. No, I have not. I haven't read that. I sure have not.
Oh,
is
yeah.
Is that interesting?
Yeah.
So are you saying just look up the, you're saying look up the name of the CD on the Amazon?
Yeah, you go to, I went to Amazon MP3 Music. I looked up Renee Marie, and I went to the particular album. There is like six or seven people who have all, I mean, they're losing their breath trying to describe you.
You have a way with words.
Well, so do you.
I have to say this. You know, and this is what I also teach in the workshops that I conduct. If you, as a singer, well, first, as singers, we have a huge privilege and responsibility, which is to convey to the listener the intent that the original composer had.
God bless.
Or the lyricist had for that song. Don't these composers and lyricists, by listening to an instrumental version that where they may not even be considering the meaning behind the lyric. Don't do that. You know, and because a lot of singers have become well known for taking these songs of the American Songbook and singing them the way they've heard them played by horn players and pianists, which is many times up-tempo, too fast for the listener to really grasp the meaning behind the lyrics. And so as singers, we have to be vulnerable and strip off the part that we would rather hide when we're, you know, dealing with people in general. We have to strip that off. Otherwise, it's not showing respect to the lyricist.
This comes up,
you know, and I have to believe you when you say My heart is sad and lonely. For you I cry, for you, dear, only. Mm. Why haven't you noticed? You know, those are sentiments we can all identify with. So it's our job to do them. And if you're not doing that as a singer, what I'd say is sit your ass down until you can get to the point. You can actually do that.
Well, see, you just preach on. Continue to preach, because this comes up in conversation more times than not. And see, the thing that's so frustrating, Renee, when a particular singer, and I'm just talking about females now. Males are a different subject, but they fall into this criteria too.
Mm-hmm.
When there is a singer that is a good singer, she doesn't do herself justice by depicting a song only to hear the sound of the own trilling of her voice. She loses
musician, right?
Yes, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But you can almost get away with it when you're an instrumentalist, because everybody has a different kind of chemical reaction. When you're singing a song and trying to bond with an audience, and I can only imagine because I'm not a singer, when you're trying to establish a bond with the audience, you have to figure out a way for them to climb into your heart, and you can't make it so personal that they lose the connection to the song. You just described this beautifully. It's magic when you're able to separate yourself and want to get into the audience's head. That's so unselfish.
Well, the music business side of things, like the business side of singing in front of an audience, is not conducive to doing what you just said. And that's part of the problem, because, first of all, you have these people coming in to the room to hear you sing, hopefully. They're coming into the room, and then you're separated by space. Maybe you're 15, 20 feet away from them. And then you might be up on a stage, which makes it seems like an us versus them mentality you can end up taking on. Like, oh, they're looking at me, they're going to be judging me. You'd be surprised the things that I hear singers say in these workshops of what makes them so uncomfortable about the whole gig thing. But we have to get past that and see these people as they are fellow men. They're going through the same things we're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going through the same things they're going through. So why is there an automatic adversarial environment set up? Go out there while you're waiting back in your green room, instead of sitting back there worrying about what are they going to say, go out there and introduce yourself and thank them for coming. I mean, they've gone through a lot of trouble, you know? And once you do that and take away this space, like, you can't do anything about the way the room is set up. And what you have to do is traverse that big chasm and extend your hand over it and just be you and let them be them. And then when you get up there to sing, then you're looking at people like, I just talked to that guy. This person is here celebrating their anniversary. These people just met tonight. It's their first date. You know what I mean? And then you sing the love songs. Yeah, and the love songs, now you really can see why you're singing it to this person here. It's all interconnected.
That's very wise, Renee. And you had to get to that point where you understood that. This is why it's so beautiful that you did wait for a while. Now, I'm led to believe that it wasn't necessarily appreciated in your house when you were singing. Your son saying that to you, Mom, go out and sing, that's a different story than what you heard at the time from someone else in the house.
I wasn't. That's what I call him, my husband.
My
you know, he was my husband, but he ain't no more.
My husband. Oh, my God. I never heard that. That's hilarious. Wow.
I love him, man. I love him. I love him. But he's, you know, I really think, Trish, that in a former life, he and I sat down and said, okay, the next time we come back, here's the role I'm going to play. And when I say this to you, Renee, or whatever my name was back then, when I say this to you, that means you got to go out that door and you got to do what you got to do. I swear I believe that. Because if he hadn't put it to me, like, you either stop singing or you're going to get it, you know, and I'm going to be the one to give it to you. If he hadn't said that to me, if he had been way nicer and said, oh, sweetheart, I miss you when you're gone, and you have to go out tonight, you know I would have just melted. And I would have said to you, baby, I'll stay home with you. But he didn't.
Right.
So my personality, he said exactly what I needed to hear, to do what I needed to do. So for everybody that's listening, if you have someone in your life that seems to be an obstacle, they are not. They are your teacher. They're teaching us to do the thing that needs to be done in spite of obstacles. That's what they're teaching us.
Oh,
but
yes.
Of course, at the time, Trish, I have to confess, right at the moment that he was doing it, I did not have his perspective.
Well, let me tell you what. From not having a perspective at the time, you made up for it by doing some really controversial and wonderful things. And this is why, my sister, I love you so much. Because you refuse to be anybody else but you. You have done some shocking things. You have absolutely been adamant about doing the shocking things to get people's attention. So that just lends more credibility to a voice that was already superior to most of the voices that I've heard in my life.
Wow. Well, thank you for saying that, Trish. I have to say that these shocking things that you're referring to, I guess you're talking about certain songs that I've sung?
Well, you know, here's a for example. This takes a lot of chutzpah. When you were in Colorado and you put together Strange Fruit and Dixie,
mm-hmm.
and then Slut Energy Theory, that's another
yeah.
eyebrow raiser. You believe in the things that you believe in, and you won't be silenced. This is enormous strength and courage. And see, from my perspective, and I hope you understand that I've learned so much having been in jazz. And one of the things I've learned is that me as a white woman perceiving what a black woman is able to do in America, that's monumental.
Well, I have to say the thing with the Dixie and Strange Fruit and other stuff that I've done that's kind of been on the edge, but it really comes from questions I have, like what would happen if I did such and such? It stems from that. It's not like I'm going to write this song because I want people to think of whatever. It's really me going, I wonder, you know, if I have this question about such and such, and I want to sing about that question. I don't know the answer, but I just want to sing about the question. Then I go ahead and do it. Or I may not know the reason why I'm doing it, too. That's another thing that's happened many times with me. When I'm being interviewed and the person says, well, what made you think of, or why did you write the song? Hey, I don't know why I wrote it. Why did you put those two together? I don't know. Something just wouldn't let me not do it.
Mm.
It's kind of like that. It's like, you know how for those of us who have kids, how the kids will pull on your skirt, mom, until you turn around and say yes. Well, that's the way that was for me for Dixie and Strange Fruit. I really did try to set it aside and just say, there's no way in the world I'm going to be able to sing Dixie. Just face it, Renee. But the other part of me was like, oh, really? I don't think so. You are going to sing this song. Until I just said, I kind of threw my hands up in surrender and said, okay, I'm going to do it. And may the good Lord take a liking to me, because I'm hoping it'll be okay. And it turned out to be just, you know, it's one of my most requested.
That's beautiful.
So, kind of like what you do in following your instinct, right, in your intuition. You don't always have words to explain why you're doing something, but you just know. Am I right? Don't you experience that sometimes?
Oh, for sure. And you being in a public forum, this is what's so exciting, because I would imagine that there have been dozens and dozens of young women looking at you, listening to you, thinking of you as a role model. We need strong women who are very persuasive in what they do. Not only are you a vocalist who knows and who loves the actual phraseology of a song and is worthy to teach, but the choices that you make are so different and so unique. I just can't express how much I appreciate you for those choices, because you really are unlike any woman that I know of in the music industry.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
I think it just comes from trying to be true to myself. Like, you'd be surprised the things that people in the music industry, and that's a phrase I hate.
Yes.
Every title of my being, but there are certain people in the music industry who have an agenda for you. And you're right. You said earlier that I was really glad that I didn't start when I was singing when I was young, because when you're younger, you're much more open, more easily persuaded.
Oh yes,
made and persuaded to follow a course. You don't know whether it's your course or not, but you just trust all these people. But when you're in your 40s and older, you start thinking, I'm older than this person. How can they know more than me about me? They don't.
Right.
You know, and I don't have stars in my eyes. And I didn't in my 40s. I just said, you know, I worked for 20-some years at a bank. This is not something I have to do. So if I'm going to do it, it's going to be my way.
Thank God.
I can just do something else. So it really is the age that comes into it. You know how we do, especially women. Once we get into the 40s, girl, this is like a brand new person.
Oh, Lord, I was awakened. I don't know what about you when you hit 40, but something went click. you just do not tolerate fools easily.
No,
and
you
begin to understand priorities in a way that is crystal clear, something that had eluded you in your 20s and 30s, that's for sure, because you were busy twirling your hair, you know?
Right, trying to please other people.
Oh!
That's what I was busy doing, trying to please other people. And then looked in the mirror one day and said, who are you? And I didn't know the answer to that.
Not
knowing the answer. That was beautiful. I won't say it was a low moment. It was really like a huge, ooh, Lord, I never asked that question before.
See? And you had all of this stored up inside of you. Well, now, more than ever, I see why you related so much to Eartha Kitt, because there are some very comparable, that's not even a word, similar roads that both of you struck. And I'm older than you, Renee, and I remember Eartha Kitt a lot when I was a little girl growing up, and she both frightened me and fascinated me. I loved her.
I love it.
I loved her. Oh, she frightened the shiggity out of me. She really did.
Yeah. It's like those crazy aunts that we're lucky enough to have a crazy aunt. The
yes.
ones that do not care what, you know, what the status quo is. They are not even interested in a status quo. And we're lucky. They're the ones that frighten us and they fascinate us.
Oh, yeah.
It was crazy. I'm not saying that at all. But
No, but she said this at one time in her life, probably several times in her life, she had to tell the truth because her background, if anybody has researched Eartha Kitt, that background was something that in a few different ways was unspeakable. So why should she have to make other people feel comfortable? She got in Lady Bird Johnson's face in the White House, I remember this, and made Lady Bird Johnson cry.
Right.
Yep.
The way she said it, it wasn't like she was challenging Lady Bird. She was
right.
saying what was obvious. As mothers, we should be standing up against this war.
That's right.
And she just was like speaking the truth in front of all these nice white women, you know, with their gloves on. And so, but that's Eartha. I don't know why anybody would invite Eartha to the White House and expect her to behave any other way.
That is the truth.
About the criticism that is raised against her in some circles. And it's just like, well, what did you expect her to do? Play nice and not say what was on her mind? Come on.
Not in the 60s. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? At the time that the Vietnam War was going on, at the time when, gosh, I'm thinking about the Democratic National Convention and the civil rights era was unfolding in a way. Some people thought it wasn't happening enough. Some people thought it was too progressive. There was lots of stuff on the table, and here was the strong African-American woman in the midst of all of this, and she was not about to kowtow.
No. No. She had come from that. She had already done that growing up.
Yep.
You know, that stuff gets under your skin and it stays with you. And you recognize it right away, the kowtowing.
Uh-huh.
And so once she moved from the South and went to New York and started tapping into her own creative agent and inner energy, that was all she wrote. It was on after that.
Sure
you
was.
Can't keep that kind of stuff down.
Oh, no,
what's
and the fact
song? how you gonna keep them down in the farm once they've seen Gay Perry? It was kind of like that,
right?
like an old tune. What is that from the 1914?
Oh my gosh, you're not kidding. That is ancient, and I love that Kit, her daughter, who I respect so much because she took care of her mom. Kit just loved the idea that you did this project.
Did you talk to her?
No, I mean, I just know from Scuttlebutt from the past year or so, you know people who know people, and here she was thrilled that somebody honored her mom enough to do it with the kind of breathtaking beauty that you did, because this is something else, this CD. Jeez.
I want to tell you, Trish, I've never had so much fun recording a CD or singing the music on a CD ever.
I'll bet.
If you just look at the title of the tracks,
yes.
I'd Rather Be Burned as a Witch, I Want to Be Evil, My Heart Belongs to Daddy, Oh John, Peel Me a Grape. I mean, it goes on and on. And so each song is so cathartic and powerful to stand there and sing song after song after song that basically says, to be a little cliched, I am woman, hear me roar.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like that. And then I can tap into all of this other, like, you know, kind of, it's not forbidden, but you know what I mean. This, I can tap into all this other energy that I would never otherwise do out in public.
Well, it's liberating. You have created this new sense of liberation when you do your music. You have before, but now, oh, the lid is off. So. you know, women just can't help but revel in that because it's like escapism when we hear this album, because you say it for a lot of women who feel like they can't.
Right. Right. And I think that was what Eartha did, too.
Yeah.
I think that was why he was so fascinating, because you could be a good girl, but still go see Eartha, go watch her on TV, and live your stuff through her. You know, you could do that and nobody would know. You could sit there all prim and proper and be going inside, yes, yes.
And the way that she would say certain things, I'll never forget that, the sound of her voice, because she had this higher register, and she would elongate
mm-hmm.
the vowels.
mm-hmm.
Oh,
yes,
my
she did.
God. She did. And you put
she
a different spin. She would growl, yes. I mean,
yes,
you go to those early
did.
Batman TV shows and see her as
yes.
Catwoman.
Oh,
whoa!
Amazing. She was amazing in that role. And it was that movie she played in with Eddie Murphy.
Oh, my God, yes, right.
She just tore up that role. That was so wonderful what she did. I can't remember the name of it, but.
And I'll bet you she made Eddie Murphy scared. She did.
You know, that's right. You know,
and I'm glad. Well, you know what? The whole idea of you, and thank you for being on the show, the whole idea of you being here today is because we want to let folks know, actually, this goes everywhere in the world, but we're focusing on, and I'm looking up the Boomerang, 1992 is the name of the movie.
Boomerang, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are going to be at this beautiful venue called Creative Alliance on Saturday. It's Renee Marie sings Eartha Kitt. Lock up
yeah.
your sons.
Yeah, lock them up. So definitely bring your daughters.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, and I just want to say this to make clear so everybody knows. This is not a one-woman show or me trying to imitate Eartha at all. This is a tribute to the music that Eartha sang, the song
that's right.
that she sung. But I'll definitely do it my way. So don't be expecting me, because I have had people come up to me in the past and say, well, you know, I thought this was going to be like a tribute to Eartha Kitt, and, you know, I said, nah, who could do that? Who could imitate Eartha? Nobody. And who would want to try? Me. Certainly not me. So
exactly.
But we're doing some of the songs that she does, but I guarantee you that you will have fun. I'm going to speak to it.
Oh, there's no doubt. And Marianne is so excited about you. I know Marianne, and she gets a little speechless when there's somebody who is like you. And, of course, the cool thing is there's nobody like you. So here you are coming to Baltimore, and you're going to be in Harrisburg, by the way, tomorrow night, right?
Right, Harrisburg tomorrow at the Dauphin Wine and Jazz Festival. Am I pronouncing that right?
Dauphin County, yes. I think it's Dauphin.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to be at that festival. And then Saturday, my first time being in Baltimore, I can't believe it because I live in Virginia. I grew up in Virginia.
Oh, my gosh.
It's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, I've sung in D.C., Maryland, other places in Maryland, of Philadelphia, other places in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, but never Baltimore itself. So, it's quite an honor.
You will get a big welcome. Here's the thing. The events page, I'm looking at it right now, 27 mm-hmm. have confirmed that they're going to go, 20 maybes. So it's mm-hmm. most of the people that Marianne invited, and it's an intimate venue. This is perfect for you. You are going to have... Say that again?
It's an intimate venue?
It is. It's one of
uh-huh.
these... it's on the corner, and it's right in the midst of a neighborhood that is essentially Highland Town. So mm-hmm. it has a marquee. And your name will be on the marquee. The venue is just beautiful.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Are you coming?
You know what? I forgot about it. I am going to be coming, yes. Marianne doesn't know it yet, but I'm going to be coming. Oh, yes.
Okay, because I just have to meet you, Trish. This is not enough for me. So I have to meet you and give you a hug at least.
Bless your heart. Well, you know what? I want my picture taken with you so that I can show you off on Facebook because you're so beautiful. You really are.
Oh,
and
thank you.
You're welcome. You just have it all. And you have it in such a way. God, on top of that, you're so bloody humble, too. You understand about the songs and how important they are to convey to people. And that means everything, Renee. It does.
Yeah. It means a lot.
It does.
A lot.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate the time. I know you got to pick up your husband. So you do your thing. Two shows.
Yeah, I need to pick him up at the train station. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, you do your thing. Two shows, 7 and 9. Folks can contact me via Facebook or Twitter or through my email, which folks have. But I'll be posting this. Matter of fact, I'm going to use this backdrop as my backdrop for one of my pages on Facebook so that people will know and will sell this show out.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
And
by the way, I do want to say, even though we have two shows, we never repeat a show, ever. So they're going to be completely different songs. So just to let people know, can't get bored.
Well, if you see me before the show, I love your version of Santa Baby because I used to sing that song. I love your version of that song, and I wanted to make sure that people heard your take on Peel Me a Grape. So when I say goodbye to you, I'm going to play that song.
Thank you so much, Trish. I look forward to meeting you.
I look forward to meeting you, too. You hang on tight. Baltimore's going to love you up.
And thank you for what you do for jazz and the jazz community. Really, really appreciate it. We need people like you, so thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for saying that. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
It's my pleasure. If I can play greatness like this, are you kidding? Man.
Thanks, honey.
Thanks, Renee. We'll see you on Saturday.
Okay. Take good care.
All right. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Renee Marie, I knew she was going to be cool. I just knew. And look, if you think you know, cool. You're about to hear something completely different. From I Want to Be Evil with Love to Eartha Kitt, this is Renee Marie and Peel Me a Grape.
Send out for scotch, baby, call me a cab, pick me a rose, man. up the tab. Don't you manhandle me, dinner and candle me. Don't overpower me, candy and flower me. Never outthink me, just make me polar bear of me. But please don't burn me, new thunder burn me.
This is Hybrid Jazz. is the way to get into an hour. Woo! Got a little story to tell you about the gentleman who just did that song. Oh, my, have we loved that song since it came out. My Lady from Soul Grind. I don't know when it was. Maybe it was about 4 or 5 years ago. The circumstances were that Cool Jazz Conversations was still on Blog Talk Radio with Joy Hull. So Patrick was going to be coming on the show. So because we were so focused on how to pronounce names, I happened to ask someone who was in the position to know, okay, I just want to make sure how you pronounce Patrick's last name. Is it Yandao? Is it Yandao? I was thinking of Sade for some reason because you're looking at S-A-D-E, and of course, if you're going to be just an average bear, you go, oh, it's Sade. Oh, no. It's Sade. Some people say Sade. I wanted to make it right. So somebody said to me, you pronounce Patrick's last name the way you would pronounce Tony Randall's last name, Patrick Yandel. So ever since then, Patrick's hearing this for the first time. Sometimes I imagine the late, great Tony Randall on stage playing a guitar, being funky, with dark hair. This is the truth. Oh, my God. This gentleman is so amazing. Guitarist extraordinaire, producer, composer, entrepreneur, one of the more industrious beings that we have on the planet. He gets the job done. Please make welcome one of my favorite people, Patrick Yandel. Yoo-hoo! Patrick!
Hey. Hello, Trish.
How are you?
Great. How are you doing? Thanks. Thank you again for having me.
Oh, my God. Listen, thank you for doing this on relatively short notice. But, Patrick, you know this because you're a guy who's got a gazillion plates in the air. Sometimes with the show, we have people booked, and then they have to cancel. And I thought, doggone it. Patrick is going to be at Spaghettini this weekend. Let's make sure he gets on. So here you are.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that show. Hopefully, looks like it's selling out. So hopefully everybody got some good tables and everything for that venue.
You know, not everybody plays Spaghettini, Mr.
Yeah,
Patrick.
They're pretty picky, especially about those Saturday nights. So I guess I got lucky.
You got lucky nothing. You're one of the best guitarists on the planet, seriously. And you deserve to have a sold-out show every single time. I'm excited for you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Looking forward to having the guys in the band, too. Got a super band put together for this thing, so it's going to be fun.
Oh, you just brag on them. Who are you going to have?
Kevin Flournoy's on keys. He usually plays with me. He plays with Chaka Khan, and he tours with Chaka Khan and Pointer Sisters and a whole bunch of other people. And I've been lucky that he's usually free for my performances. So him
That's
on
great.
Keys on bass is Sekou Bunch, world famous bass player.
Yes,
he's he was on Quincy Jones's A Team. He's played with Tom Brown. He's actually co-writer on a lot of Tom Brown hits, and he's been with Michael Jackson, so he's amazing. He was also, believe it or not, the first musician they ever invited to Survivor.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then on drums with me is always the groove meister, Tony Lee, who's been playing since he was a kid. He was one of Berry Gordy's young guns way back when, and it's just great to play with these guys.
That's awesome. And not only, look, I build this as your birthday show. It's your birthday tomorrow.
Yeah. So don't remind me about that one.
Oh, come on. No.
I tell you, Trish, I'm feeling it. So, but everything's going so well. I'm looking forward to just, getting the performance in and hopefully celebrate a little bit of birthday time over there at Spaghettini. So.
Listen, you are like a fine wine. You're aging to perfection. That's what you always have to say to yourself.
I'll remember that one.
I gotta print
that one out and read that every morning when I'm waking up sore and tired.
Well, you know what? It's just because you really do like to do a lot in a given day. You really are one of the hardest working artists that I know, and you would even agree with that, wouldn't you?
I sure am trying. So, again, everything's looking good so far. Just trying to get more bookings, you know, out in the public rather than just sticking to this production thing that I've got going. So hopefully everything's coming together with the performances also.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you raised that point so I can counter by saying to you, I'm so tickled for the success that you've had with the TV and movie endeavors, Patrick. Less people don't know, your music has been featured in Girls on HBO, Shameless on Showtime. Your music was in War Incorporated with John Cusack and Marisa Tomei. And then one of the crown jewels of your resume, Fruitvale Station, Mr. Fatburger. Look, you're doing something right.
And I just got notified this morning that they picked two songs for a new film, indie film coming out. The title of that one is Tell. So yeah, it's still rolling like that. I'm glad they're finding more and more places for my music, and I've been contacted about composing some original music for some new indie movies. So,
oh wow,
looking forward to that. You know, and there's also a new horror film that used one of my tracks. The title of that one is called Ghost Line. And that one's also just coming out. So it's rolling. It's rolling.
Well, and it's because you are so well-versed, and we didn't touch on this when you were here with me before on the show, but, you know, here you are. You were born in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, raised in Bay City, Michigan, but now you're in San Diego. You really have acclimated through the years more than a lot of people. I mean, having been born in the South, then you go to the North, a whole different vibe as far as the music goes, and then you go to the West Coast. So you've acclimated all of this into your soul as far as what people perceive to be their music in different pockets of the U.S. So you know jazz, you know blues, you know soul, you know rock. It's because you're so versatile that people keep asking you to do things.
Yeah, it's been a heck of a life so far. So, you know, and it's funny you bring up Bay City, Michigan. We're going back there for a Christmas show in November, and I've got a new Christmas album coming out.
Wow!
Have it ready for release by next month. So I'll get you a copy of that one, too. And we're going to do the release party at the State Theater in Bay City, Michigan on November 22nd. So that's another
awesome
thing that's coming up. So just trying to take a few breaths in between and keep all these things in gear.
Oh, that's so great. You are going to be welcomed like one of the big hometown heroes that you are. Is it something that you really are looking forward to, going back to Michigan?
Definitely. I try to perform there at least once a year, and we usually go back in October, November. It's usually more November, and do a show back there. And we were featured on a PBS special back there a couple of years ago. And
yes.
It's just been really nice, yeah.
That's so cool. You know, I'm hearing something in your voice, and you always sound absolutely naturally, honestly sweet. But you're chomping on the bit for something. You want something to happen. What is it that you want to have happen as the next big thing in your career, Patrick?
Probably to be a little bit more welcome in the smooth jazz festivals. I've tried to knock on the door over the years, even though I've had tunes in the top 10 of the charts. It's just been hard to get into that, you know, the smooth jazz cruises and smooth jazz festivals, and even in the jazz festivals, it's kind of tough. So that's kind of my goal for 2015, to really get that rolling, get out there and perform. I performed at the Newport Jazz Festival, and that was kind of a big deal, and it was nice to get in there. But I'd really like to get back out there, you know, and just really push my. I plan on releasing a new contemporary jazz album in 2015, and get out there and at these festivals and promote it. So that's my goal for next year.
And you know, I'll have to tell you that the person that I had this conversation with actually on this show. This is going back over a year now. He said the same thing in a very public way, that it was hard to break into what is essentially, let's call it what it is, a clique.
Yeah.
So once he said something about it, I'm noticing that he is involved in a lot more of these different kinds of endeavors, whether they're festivals or cruises. So, Patrick, I think in this particular case, Squeaky Wheel is going to get the grease. When people see that you are at Spagatini, and you know what? We'll blow it up. The folks who love you will blow this up in the next couple of days, because it's, what, Saturday, right?
Yes.
Okay. It just seems to be the case, and you can agree with this or not. When somebody is trying to knock on a door, sometimes the person knocking on the door is not necessarily seen. But when there are other people knocking on the door, that it doesn't affect as much, but it seems to be that there's all this interest in the person who's doing the knocking, all of a sudden, attitudes change.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, look, we're going to do what we need to do, and I don't know if you ever tried to get in touch with John Ernesto from Burke's Jazz or not.
I have, and that's one of those doors that no matter what, you know, again, how high I was on the charts or things like that, I never got an answer from them. It was funny, too, because a lot of people that had heard my stuff, especially in the Maryland area, were asking, when you coming to Burke's? You know, I'll get all these messages on Facebook and Twitter, when you coming to Burke's Fest? I always reply, you know, it's not like I haven't tried. I just, the door has not been open there. But I'd love to come back there and play for all the people that have heard my music since the 90s.
Well, you know what? Why don't you do a backdoor thing with Burke's? I would do this, and if you want me to, I could reach out, because Gerald Veasley is my Philly homeboy. I love Gerald, and he's got the club there right at the Crown Plaza at Burke's. So why couldn't you play there during the festival? And So, look, let's just stay in touch and not rest until this is done, because you need to get more attention.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad somebody thinks so.
Oh, Patrick, a lot of people think so. It's just that, you know what, there's such a small little group that holds, seems like they hold the power.
Yeah.
And that's not cool. It's not cool.
Yeah.
So, believe me, there are lots of us who are trying to change that.
Oh, good. Well, a lot of us appreciate it. There's, you know, I've got a lot of friends out there that are making headway. Matt Marshak, and there's some other guitar players out there that I've known for quite a few years, and it really seems like they're starting to make headway in you know, getting bookings and getting involved in the festivals and stuff. So, looks like the way might be clearing, you know.
Yeah, and there's no reason why you couldn't be part of Rehoboth Jazz Festival. I mean, I think that they've got the lineup pretty much situated this year, but that's ridiculous, because you would blend in perfectly with that crowd that comes there year after year.
I would love to. Again, right? I'm open for anything, especially in the 2015 year. You know, like I said, there's that new project that I'm going to have coming out, and I'll play anywhere. I'll play for peanuts or whatever it is. But we, you know, I'd love to.
No, you won't. No, you won't. Oh no. Oh no, I got to put my foot down there. No, you are too good. You've got too powerful a resume. You've worked too hard, and you've had number one success stories with singles and albums.
It'd be great to just come out there and finally hang with you, you know, and just catch up in person rather than over the phone and Facebook. So,
Look. I got to tell you, this is a whole new situation now because my son and I are going to move to Southwest Florida in December.
Oh, I saw that. That's right. That's right. Hey,
yep.
There's a lot of festivals going on in Florida. I've tried to get me involved. In fact, they invited me a couple of times, but the timing just wasn't right when there was a station there that was going. The Groove was going pretty good there, WGRV. But I haven't heard much from them lately.
No, because they don't exist anymore.
Yeah, I remember they were having troubles. I tried to help out with a bunch of CDs for sale and stuff, but I guess it didn't happen.
No, you know, like so many stations, and that, boy, we could talk about this from now until Kingdom Come, but there are some really cool places in Southwest Florida, and, you know, there's also that big club in the Fort Lauderdale area, or is it Miami? Just like the magazine you've heard of, Jazz Is,
mm-hmm.
There is a club that's called that in South Florida. So believe me, moving there is a handful of women who are either in promotion or who oversee artists. And this might be something that you would be interested in, Patrick, because they're formidable talent. Kim, who's based in the Tampa region. There's Shannon West, who's based in Jacksonville. There's Kathy, who's also in Tampa. These women are trying to do something in Florida to specifically address what you're saying right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love to. A friend of mine, Will Donato, a sax player, just played out there with Nick Colleone, and he said, there's some things opening up. They're trying to get some things going down there. So hopefully, you know, contemporary jazz is starting to make its way back in. The smooth jazz kind of took such a big hit, but I'm glad to see contemporary jazz is really starting to feel a push, you know, to get back out there in the public. So hopefully everything works out, everybody.
Yeah. Well, and let's do this. We'll continue this conversation. I want to get another taste of your music. Soul Grind is one of those albums that is just so soul satisfying because it just gives a cross-section of what you're able to do. You just become one with that guitar. And your particular artistry isn't like anybody else's, Patrick. You know, you don't get told that enough, do you?
I wish. It makes me feel, you know, it's always welcome. Most of the artists I know, like myself, it's so nice to hear just because you spend so much time on it. It's just it engulfs your whole day, and you have a little bit of family time, but the rest of the day you're working at your craft. So it's definitely welcome to hear that. Thank you, Trish.
Well, you're certainly welcome. I have a few songs here because it was a little tricky to pick which one. So I have, for right now, The Dawn or When Robins Fly. What are you feeling right now?
The Dawn was written for my son's high school, the Cathedral Dawn. So that's I like that one. It was kind of written a la Larry Carlton. So that sounds good to me.
Okay, good. Yay. Well, this is from last year, 2013, Soul Grind. Patrick Gandil is with us, and this is The Dawn on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Oh,
baby. That is joy right there.
get you going in the morning.
Oh, man, are you kidding? That's like caffeine. I love that. The Dawn from Soul Grind. And look, you even put a little coffee word in there, Soul Grind. Get it?
Yeah, I get it. Thank you for that. That was unintentional.
You know what? You can call your next CD Percolation Part 2 or whatever.
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, man. Well, you know everybody's grooving in the chat room. You see Matt and Beach and Griselda going, woo! Oh, Lord. What is it that you like to do? Are you finding now that you're gravitating to a certain kind of music? Are you listening to some other artists, or are you hearing in your head where your heart is taking you? Are you in a jazz mode? Are you in an R&B mode? Rock and roll? Where are you?
That's you probably just nailed down why some of the problems I've had in my career over the past 25 years. People have just had a hard time pinning me down. But, you know, sometimes I'll have a new album out there, and when the reviewers were not as nice as they are these days, but when they were a little more critical, one reviewer used to say, "Well, we never know it's your album because it you sound different every time." So,
oh, for God's sake!
I don't know. I always wanted to advance my musical taste, you know, and create something new. I never wanted one album to sound like the last album. So again, I've been criticized for that over the years, but I don't know. I'm a music guy. I'm not a jazz snob. That if it's not jazz, I'm not going to listen to it. You know, there's bad jazz and there's good jazz. There's bad music and there's good music. And I've always just tried to make good music, you know, something that sounds good to me and hopefully to other people. So that's kind of my approach, you know.
Patrick, you know what? I'm going to get myself in trouble for saying this, but look, why should today be any different? Has it ever occurred to you that the reason that you don't get tapped to do these jobs is because you're just so freaking good? And when you show up, the homogenized crap that they usually play gets nailed to the category it deserves, which is homogenized crap?
I don't know. You know, it's funny you bring that up. I was playing at a show one time. I was backing an artist, and he gave me some room to blow, and I started playing. And after the show, he said, you know what, people paid attention more to your solo than they did to the whole rest of my whole show.
Oh, what?
I told him, I said, I'm sorry. He said, you know what, good for you. He said, people, you make people listen. And I, you know, it was kind of a compliment, and I took it as it. And that's, you know, sometimes even the shows I've done in the festivals I've gotten to do in the past couple of years, yeah, like you say, there's some of the stuff is pretty nice, but it from one band to the next, it almost sounds like the same thing, you know. And that's I never wanted to be in that. Again, it's probably hurt me some places, but I just never wanted to be lumped into there, you know. I have rock in me, I have jazz, R&B, and all that stuff you were talking about earlier, and I've always wanted to put that into my music.
But here's the thing, Patrick. There are lots of different kinds of showcases for people, and some of these cats and kitties show up, and they do other kinds of music, but they don't do them as well as you because they don't feel them. You know, you're seeing a tendency now for these jazz festivals in particular to have a lot of R&B acts. And I'm thinking lately, because it burns me to a large degree, I am a jazz head for sure, but I appreciate so much when someone is able to convey instrumental music in a new and fresh way. I'm thinking that now a lot of these R&B acts are added to the roster because there is a lack of depth in what has been that subgenre of smooth jazz. Here's you. You come along, and you are well-versed in all of it. You can make a show pop. And it's a little disconcerting to folks. I want you to hold your head high, because you might not be getting the attention that you think that you deserve. You do deserve attention, but you might not be getting it because people are scared as shiggity when you're in the room.
Well, that's quite a compliment. I tell you, you know, and that's funny you bring that up. There was in the paper the other day, they were advertising a smooth jazz show, and I swear the whole top roster was all old R&B acts. It was I just don't understand it. It just kind of blew my mind. I'm thinking, what happened to all the jazz acts that used to, you know, smooth jazz? Again, it's a tough term for me to use, but over the years, it was at least you knew you were going to see maybe a heck of a sax, put Kirk Whalum in there somewhere or somebody like that. But now it's all old R&B acts, and that's kind of disconcerting to me. It's just that's where the road is, you know.
And look, if you're in a private conversation with Kirk Whalum, as I have been, you best not refer to him as a smooth jazz artist.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
best back out of the room before you call him. Because
you know he was around when I came around to but he was a little bit before me. In fact, I opened for him at a concert here in San Diego way back in the 90s, and we even talked about it back then that term was starting to be thrown around. And both of us looked at each other and said, you know, that's bad news. He even said that's going to be bad news for us, I think, in the future. And it was kind of, you know, I've got to work in that realm, so I don't cut on it as much as, you know, I want to. But it's a hard time swallowing that when we were basically it was contemporary jazz for us. When we got in, Kirk Whalum, me and Koinonia and all these other guys, we were contemporary jazz artists because we were just kind of building on the old jazz, traditional jazz, and putting in, you know, the newer elements into it, but there was definitely still jazz in there. And that's kind of what my shows are, and that's how I roll, and sometimes it just doesn't work for these smooth jazz shows, and I understand that, you know.
Well, and that's ridiculous because the whole flavor of what has been smooth jazz is changing. As a matter of fact, just in the past 48 hours, one of my good friends on Facebook that I've never met in person, but I consider him to be a good friend, is Jonathan Widren, who is the journalist who gets to write about so much in the jazz world. Jonathan apparently has a new project. And here's the project, and folks in the chat room might not know this yet. It's going to be kind of startling to hear this. But Jonathan has been invited to be a part of a forum that discusses whether the whole notion of calling it smooth jazz should be changed. There should be another word to categorize what is done under this particular ever-growing banner, which might be a real good idea.
Yeah, I totally agree. In fact, that term, it came from Art Good here in San Diego. And I remember back when he started using it, and all of us from Kirk Whalum and Fatburger, I was good friends with all the guys in Fatburger. We all were like, oh, that's not good. That's not good for any of us. Because, we were all still putting in elements of traditional jazz into our music. You know, we were still, you know, putting in rock and fusion jazz into our stuff. So, yeah, you know, I've known Jonathan for a lot of years, too. I remember he had an article way back in Jazz's magazine, he did it, and he picked one of my albums as one of the top albums of the year. But in that article, he said, "You some of the best contemporary jazz you've never heard is done by Patrick." And as a compliment, this was back in probably the late 90s. He wrote this, and that's a compliment. But it was like, okay, that's great. to say that, but then you realize why my music wasn't being heard out there, because when smooth jazz started rolling in, they heard some, like they'd hear a rock guitar in one of my songs, and go, oh, we're not playing that. You know, it's just, that's the kind of thing that happened back then.
Well, and you might find in the days ahead, Patrick, that it's all going to change, because anytime there is an artist on this show, he or she, gosh, 8 times out of 10, when a conversation turns to this particular subject, there is a strength and there seems to be a unity. And I've had Rick Braun on the show. I've had Richard Elliott on the show. And when you get them on this particular show, Hybrid Jazz, they're saying essentially in a different way what you say. They're adamant about their music being their way. They don't want to be confined to a singular box. They appreciate the fact that they have, gotten a paycheck after paycheck underneath that banner of smooth jazz, but there's a whole lot more involved in what they do and what they want to do. So be of good cheer. Know that things are going to turn your way. I really believe that.
I hope so. You know, it's again, I'm sure those guys, and they've been way more successful in this kind of, again, I have to say it, but it's smooth, you know, it's called smooth jazz, Rick Braun and Richard, but they've been way more successful than I have, but they've kind of done their thing and found that groove it within that term and made a good career out of it. So, you know, I have nothing against those guys. They found a way to do it, and you see them live and they tear it up. They just are amazing performers. So hopefully, you know, yeah, like you say, hopefully there's the sun's rising on contemporary jazz or whatever new term they come up to name it. But it's gotta change for some of us.
You know, that's so funny because people, when they see you, that's what they say. Have you ever seen Patrick? He tears it up.
Yeah, it's very liberating. That's why I love still. You know, again, I have my production thing, but I love performing. There's nothing like, you know, when you start playing an instrument when you're little, and the big thing is to play live, and that never leaves you. There's such a reward in performing live and making live music. And jazz is such a cool thing too. You're playing something new up there on the stage. You know, it's a lot of times you're trying things out and it's all new, and you're rewarded by people listening and applauding and you know, telling you things afterwards, and there's nothing like that. You can't replace that.
No, and you feed off that in particular because you're this very much seasoned pro who has played so many gigs, and you've learned about the different facets of the business, which a lot of these guys and girls have not. So you're very sensitive to attitudes. You are you have an ear for different kinds of genres. There's probably not a whole lot of people that any of us can say in the chat room here that appreciates an audience more than you do, because you know what it takes to get bodies into a venue.
Yes, I do.
Jeez. Well, let me just ask you this. I don't want to, you know, keep you too much longer, because I know that your time is always woohoo. You're get ready for shows and stuff, but what would you like to, as far as gigs are concerned, do you have a particular area that you're focused on? Does it matter to you? Do you want to do international travel as well?
I have before. I've been over to Japan, but it's funny because I had songs that did very well in Europe over the years, but I've never been over there. So I would love to get over there. And I was talking to Jimmy King a couple times, and you know, he said, I think we can work it out. You know, it might be possible, but we never nailed it down. And there's a couple places that Jeff Lorber plays over there, and some other guys like that that I've tried to get over there, but it just never worked out. But I definitely want to get over to Europe and anywhere else that I have me. Like I said, next year the big thing is just to get out and travel and tour, put a decent tour together for it next year.
Well, the Lobster Pot in it's Clearwater, Florida. I'm going to be thinking about that when we make the move. Lobster Pot's a great venue for jazz, so keep that in mind. Keep in mind that Jakeem Joyner, who's just a new daddy in the past couple of weeks, Jakeem's going to be in Brevard County, Florida, and then he's going to be doing something that's pretty cool in 2015. We're communicating a little bit back and forth, so I'm going to find out what's going on with him. But here's what I want to do. And actually, Patrick, Jonathan and I had talked about him coming back on the show to talk about who's who in jazz and who's he really digging these days. One of the gals that.
For me.
Oh, I definitely will. We're going to talk about you. Your ears are going to burn that day.
We've been knowing each other for a lot of years.
Well, it just seems to make a difference when Jonathan likes you, but I want to make sure that his memory is refreshed, especially if he's going to come on the show. We've got to do something because this makes me crazy that you aren't a part of the scene, and I want you to be a part of the scene so much because nobody deserves it more than you. Nobody.
Oh, thank you, Trish. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'll introduce when I'm trying to get open some of these doors, I'll say you can talk to my new agent, Trish Hennessy.
You know what? Well, if I knew commissions were forthcoming, I'm telling you what. I'd be right there, pal. Just give me a little cut of that action, okay?
Oh, you got it.
Oh, my gosh. I'm really tickled. How many shows are you going to do at Spaghettini on Saturday? Are there two shows?
We just got one. We're starting a little late, so we can only fit in the 8 to 10 o'clock concert spot. So it's just the one big one. So we're looking forward to playing for everybody out there.
So is it a matter of people going to spaghettini.com to get tickets?
Yes, and you just go into the calendar and you'll see me on the Saturday, and right there's a little button you just click on. It says buy tickets. And like I said, they're almost sold out for the VIP tables, so if anybody's interested, hopefully they get in there quick and grab those tables.
Well, here's what I told Renee Marie, who was on before you. I am going to put up on my page the banner for your show and on another page for Renee. So you tell Q at Spaghettini that I did this, and then you tell me to take it down once you're all sold out. Will you do that?
I will.
Okay. So
I've got to talk to Q today, in fact, to make sure that, you know, checking in with the sound and everything that we need.
Okay. Well, okay. I want you to tell him that I believe in you so much that this is going to be my cover photo, his club with you and your precious little mug on my page.
thanks, Trish. thank you.
You're welcome. You want to tell me before we say adios, I'm real curious. I think that you spoke about this before, but you know one of my favorite tracks on Soul Grind is When Robins Fly, and that means a lot to you.
Yeah, it was written for in fact, there's a radio personality in Michigan I actually grew up with, and his name is Dave Shore. And, you know, he's just one of those guys. When we were young, we actually started a band. When we were probably fourth or fifth grade, we had a band. We used to play out in the yard, and he was actually our lead singer, and he had this gruff voice and he could sing Black Sabbath, and we were all playing stuff like Black Sabbath and Blue Oyster Cult when we were kids. And yeah, he was just a great guy to grow up with, and just a huge personality in Bay City, Michigan. Like I said, he was one of the main radio guys there. His voice was the voice you'd hear on commercials, and in Michigan and in surrounding areas. And when he passed, it was a tough one. So then I wrote that song when Robin Smiley for him. So.
Oh gosh, that's a beautiful story. Wow. Well, look, you should have been with us in the past week because we went over to the Maryland State Fair and saw Grand Funk Railroad.
They were heroes to us kids when we were growing up. I tell you, we had all their stuff, followed them. They grew up in a nearby city to Bay City, Flint, Michigan, and they had an amazing career. Still, in fact, Mark Farner's still playing around, the guitar player.
Well, he's not with Grand Funk, and instead of Mark, they have my good friend Max Carl, who I absolutely revere as their lead singer. But the other day, it was Don Brewer's 66th birthday. And Yes. Patrick, he is the freaking Energizer Bunny on that stage, man.
I'm telling you.
Whoa. Remember that afro he had?
I saw one of the last
afro
concerts with him. Yeah.
Really?
He doesn't have that anymore, does he? He doesn't have a fro, does he?
No, he doesn't. But the thing is, I mean, it's so different because he had this wild hair, and now, I mean, he's still wiry, but he's got this silver hair that's close to his head.
Oh.
And he kind of turned GQ on us.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's too funny. Too funny.
But he's... The band is just smoking still after all these years.
Great.
Man.
I saw them about 10 years ago, or it was one of, might even been before that, probably was. It was one of Mark Farner's last tours with them, and they sounded like $1 million. They sounded like the old records. So, they're one of the few bands that came around from back then that still had the original members and still could sound like they used to, so...
Yeah, they're one of those bands. I kind of wished I was a groupie because they would sing about Sweet, Sweet Connie.
I remember
Thank
that
God,
song.
I never, I never went that
You're
route, but I thought,
band, yeah.
That's right, man. Woo, Lord have mercy, that was a sweet song.
That's a great album.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Oh, well, some of us have the original LPs. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
I know. Look. Hey, we're going to have a birthday and a half in October. And look, we're passing out virtual cake and ice cream here in the chat room. What are you going to do that's special for your birthday tomorrow?
I don't know. Start every day with a workout to make sure I'm still around, and then I'm not sure. Just spend it with my son and my wife, and just kick back and get ready. Still have a lot of stuff to get ready for this show on Saturday, so just kick back and make sure I got everything ready for Saturday. So.
Well, good. Whatever you do, know that you've got a lot of people thinking about you because God knows I've blown this birthday thing up.
thank you, Trish. Hey, like I said, always
you're so
big love for you and your son. Big love for you and your son.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks so much. He's doing college. He's working, and we're gonna focus on him delving into cybersecurity in Southwest Florida.
Right on. So, what's the date for the move?
We're gonna move before Christmas because T's dad is there. And we don't want him to be alone for Christmas, so we're going to make sure that we move so that we're a basic little unit and that nobody feels as though they're alone.
Left out. Good for you guys. Nice.
Yeah. It'll be fabulous. And so will you be. Look, you're going to remember this conversation today, and you're going to remember how the tide changed, Patrick.
Okay.
You'll see.
All right.
All right? All right.
All right.
Thank you,
Trish,
so much.
And
love
we'll
you, too.
Talk to you soon. All right, girl.
Yes. All right. Very good. Bye, Patrick. Oh, bye-bye.
All right. Good luck. Bye.
Patrick Yandel, we're going to play that song. That was such a sweet story. I love this song from Soul Grind, When Robins Fly, on Hyperchat.
Thank you.
This is Hybrid Jazz.
Love and happiness. Yeah. Something that can make you do wrong, make you do right. Yeah. Love. But wait a minute, something's going wrong. Someone's on the phone, 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, talking about how she can make it right. Yeah, yeah. Happiness is when you really feel good about somebody. Nothing wrong being in love with someone, yeah. Oh, baby, love and happiness. Love and happiness. Thank you.
had to play that song, had to hear it. Of course, it's going to be tough for anything else to follow that song, but woo, Al Green, Love and Happiness, 1972. You know, that's from the album Still in Love with You, and a lot of folks remember the 70s. Al is so different looking now. I saw a YouTube video of him. You know, he's pastor at the Full Gospel Tabernacle Church in Memphis, and he looks different. It was kind of shocking when I first saw him, and apparently there are tourists that come into Memphis, and they come to this church just so they can see Al do his thing, and it was real as real can be, this particular clip that I saw. So it made me go back in time, and my memory was refreshed. Some of us remember in 1974, it was October, 2 days after my birthday, the 18th of October, an ex-girlfriend had come to Al Green's house, and I'm not sure what the relationship was. She was an ex-girlfriend, I know that. But she got hot grits, and he was in the tub, and poured the hot grits on his back. Now, Al had already been thinking before that time that he was not doing what he was supposed to do while he was walking this earth, which was gospel music. But after that sealed the deal. He returned to what he had been doing, and he got away from secular music for a while. So I'm not seeing anything in the way of Al doing any more tours as far as secular music is concerned. We just have to remember what it was like when he was this full-blown animal, magnetized creature on stage doing songs like that. That's the best right there. Love and Happiness. Woo! We're just talking about Daryl Walker maybe doing this show live, and Beej is saying, yeah, he should be doing the song. I said, but if he does, there's going to be a whole lot of naked women who will converge on that stage. Daryl Walker doing the song? Stop it. Stop it. Get those thoughts away. Be gone, Satan. Be gone. Al Green is 68, by the way, and you might want a chance to take the chance to go see. If you don't want your memories, like, if you want to remember Al the way that he was, don't go to the YouTube page, but he is certainly a man of God, that's for sure. It's just really entertaining to see the clips that you might see. That's what I'm going to say. Pieces of a Dream, yes, from last year. In the Moment, that's our guy David Dyson's song that you heard, For Real, with James Lloyd kicking it out on piano, David on bass, woo! Ron Lawrence on guitar, Tony Watson Jr. on sax, Chris Big Dog Davis on the CD as well. It is delicious. Those Philly guys are serving it up. Now, when you get some Philly guys together with a gentleman from D.C. who knows what he's doing on bass, woo, you know. We heard, too, Patrick Yandel. That was so sweet, When Robins Fly, from his Soul Grind CD. No joke, we're going to do this for Patrick. Jonathan and I had talked, Jonathan Widren and I had talked about him being on the show. We're going to get down to the nitty-gritty as far as some of this conversation is concerned about some of the snobbery that is left in these cliques in the contemporary jazz world. We need to talk about it. We need to talk about the R&B folks that are they are the headliners now for what had been called jazz festivals. We need to talk about it. It needs to get on the table about this, because we want to not be the snobs that other people are, but we need to make sure that people understand the respect that jazz has to get. Just because there's not a whole lot of jazz stations now, we need to make sure that people do not disrespect the genre. And that's what I'll say about that. got new music for you. You might have heard that last year, Herb Alpert had another album out. He's got a new one that's going to drop on the 30th of September. It's called In the Mood. This is the single from it. It's called Sneaky, and he teams up with his good buddy, old partners from way back, Jeff Lorber, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. You'll enjoy this. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but I know if I'm patient, it'll all work out. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but I know if I'm patient, it'll all work out. You have to remember, we were made to be together forever. We don't see eye to eye right now. That don't mean we won't ever. We will go on and on. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but I know if we're patient, it'll all work out. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but I know if we're patient, it'll all work out. We've been through these things before. We never gave up, so why start it now? You know we shouldn't, neither of us, walk out that door. 'Cause at the end of it all, it's all today, maybe not tomorrow, but I know we're together, it'll all work out. Said maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but I know we're together, it'll all work out. No matter what the day may bring to us, no matter if there's clouds in the sky, no matter if the sun doesn't shine, I know that we will always be alright. It doesn't matter what comes our way, as long as we hold on and we pray, as long as we stand for one another, as long as we believe. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but I know we're together, it'll all work out. And maybe not today, and maybe not tomorrow, but I know we're together, it'll all work out. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but I know we're together, it'll all work out. And maybe not today.
I have to tell you about that lady that you just heard. She is a young lady, and she came to my attention, first of all, from Jonathan Woodron, whose name keeps popping up in this episode of Hyper Jazz. And then the Gouroff brothers are doing some marketing on her, some promotion. So I got sent the single through the mail. That was Maybe Not Today from the CD that's coming on the 16th of September, her debut, Wishing on Love. She is from the San Antonio area, a star in her hometown. And apparently Paul Brown in California got wind of her and was really smitten with the possibilities, because Melina is one of those gals, and I hope I said Melina the first time around, Melina is one of those young women that is not jaded. She hasn't been in the business for a while. She's not a diva yet. Hopefully she won't be. So she was real receptive to hearing what the strengths were of her vocal gift, and she sure does have one. I know that Jonathan really thought the world of her and talked about her for quite a bit on his Facebook page. There she is. Maybe not today. MelinaMusic.net has more information on her. Such a beautiful gal, seemingly inside and out, which so many of us gravitate to these days, you know? We also heard Daniel Bennett. Let me tell you something about Daniel. We had him on the show last year. He has a vivid musical imagination. Matter of fact, somebody on his website, a reviewer, has said that Daniel does trance-like soundscapes. This music is a combination of folk and jazz and pop and the collective head of children. He's got this childlike heart. The song that you heard, wait a minute, let me go back to the song because so many of his titles are in my head. He has titles like no one else, and I'm not kidding you. That was The Old Muskrat Welcomes Us from the CD Clockhead Goes to Camp. He's just this amazing human being with a kind attitude. He finds stuff that I post on Twitter, and he retweets. He favorites them, so many that I can't even imagine telling you. He's got a new recording that he's going to be doing. October is his workspace for that, so we'll keep you posted. I really like the idea of putting songs together that make sense that Daniel does, because I want to make sure that he gets a, oh, wow, in the midst of conversation in the chat room or in the midst of the programming for Hybrid Jazz. He's just so unique, and his talent on that saxophone is so different. I really think the world of him. We heard, too, from Herb Alpert. Oh, man. You know how old Herb Alpert is, right? He's 79. If you were to look on his calendar of the dates that he's going to do, will you just say a prayer for him, please? He looks fit as a fiddle, and he's going to be touring with his longtime beautiful wife, Lanny Hall. Oh, do we love that woman. So what you heard was Sneaky, that was written with his good friend Jeff Lorber. Jeff is playing keyboard on there. In the Mood is going to drop on the 30th of September. Whew. Besides being the consummate musician that he is also a philanthropist. So his work really takes him to different arenas, does a lot of the stuff behind the scenes, making sure that young people get a leg up in the music business. So he really does deserve some good vibes and prayers, especially since he is going to be pushing this CD on the road. Bless his heart. Woo! We received some news, and I think that I'm going to save it. I'm going to change the flavor of the show a little bit because of the news that we received. Folks in the chat room certainly know, but, you know, we've had so much death lately, and Robin Williams, phew, that was a curveball as we have never expected or anticipated in our lifetime to hear. So when these stars of magnitude leave us, it's almost unbearable, you know? Woo! So let me turn things around a little bit. This is Helen Sung. Helen was on the show as well. This is Anthem for a New Day on Hybrid Jazz. Hope you enjoy that. Hope you feel it right now. Thank you.
that's made me a believer that a life without her would be hard to endure and quite pointless for me. That's the way it would be if one day I guess you could say it's the reason I adore her. And that beacon of light, making everything bright, turning wrong into right, with the wave of her hand. If one day
sound divine. Oh man, they're a good combination. Andrew New from his CD, Everything Happens for a Reason, with his good friend and frequent boss, Bobby Caldwell. What would I do? Bobby's getting ready to do the Dave Cause Cruise tomorrow. It's going to be the 5th through the 12th. Man, there's going to be some real good folks on that ship. And there's going to be some great places that they go to. Can't wait to see some pictures. And then Bobby's going to be at Spags, same place that Patrick Yandel's going to be this weekend. Bobby Caldwell will be in October, and he will be there with Andrew New. Now, Andrew has some news of his own. I'm so proud of my younger brother in Philadelphia. He just got tapped to be on the faculty of Swarthmore College outside of Philadelphia. It's a very big deal because this college is known throughout the world. A lot of colleges in Pennsylvania, especially in the Philadelphia extended area, get real noticed. Real noticed? Nice, Trish. That was educated. Get some really cool attention placed on them because of what they're able to do. And now he's on the music faculty, so there's going to be a whole lot more edumacated students coming through that school. Just saying. Yeah. What else did we hear? Oh, yeah, Maria Antoinette. She's something else, a harpist who is part of the Los Angeles Southeast Symphony Orchestra, but who likes to put a little 70s funk and some soul and some real interesting kinds of vibes, ambiance in her harp playing. She's amazing, playing with Jazz in Pink on the 21st. And if you go to her website, you will see all, and you'll also see how magnificent she is. Just an elegant person, elegant the way she plays. You just can't help it with a harp, but she has a particular kind of touch. You heard Give Me Your Love, which is a single that you can pick up via her website, by the way. We heard, too, from Helen Sung, her anthem for a new day, the name of the CD, and It Don't Mean a Thing If It Don't Have That Swing. That's the name of the song that we heard, but an understated version of that song, because that's how she is. She's a magnificent jazz pianist and composer. She's going to be with Todd Marcus and his Nonne at the Chestertown Jazz Festival. I had to look up Nonne, too. It's 9 pieces in the orchestra. And then she's going to be in Switzerland, Rome, and Paris. Woo! So this magnificent creature from Texas, who is now working the big rooms all over the world, who was on Hybrid Jazz not that long ago, she's just doing her humble thing. She is very much the amazing talent on piano, but when you speak to her, she poo-poos the whole thing. She's just something else, a treasure. We're going to do these 3 songs, and we want to get them all in because now they mean more than ever. Certainly didn't know that we were going to be getting the news about Joan Rivers. She has passed away at the age of 81, and now this song, woo, Solo Voyage, Sweet, from Denny Zeitlin and his trio, means a little bit more than usual on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. Wow. Jonathan Butler from Living My Dream and a song called A Prayer, which was programmed into the mix today, and those particular songs back-to-back deliberately, and it was before we knew, because we just found out less than an hour ago that Joan Rivers has left us. And it's not that it's a big shock, but it's because we have been involved in Joan Rivers' life for so long, and she has been such a large presence, like Robin Williams was. And it doesn't matter that Joan was 81. You just don't necessarily think of someone that has been that close to you, even though you may not have known them personally. It's just that they have so much value in your life because of their presence on an everyday basis. You just feel as though some people that are celebrities of that kind of grandeur, they're just part of you. They're part of your family. So to lose them is like losing someone that you honestly don't know what you're going to do in your day-to-day without them. You've lived with them for this long. It's just been amazing to have had their light in your world. God bless you, Joan. Rest in peace. Jonathan Butler, A Prayer from Living My Dream. His safari is coming up very soon. He does this each September. Greg Hatza Organization with Snake Eyes. That's the name of the CD, Change the World, from 1998. A Hammond organ and martial arts shifu. He has been a martial arts master for like over 42 years. Then the Denny Zeitlin Trio. Jazz pianist Denny is and also a clinical professor of psychiatry in Marin County, California. Got his degree at Johns Hopkins. That was the Solo Voyage Suite. Amazing. 76 years young. He likes to do all sorts of very physical kinds of things. I love to hear that. Thanks so much to everybody in the chat room. Beach, Yolanda, Pete, Matt, Griselda that was here earlier, and our guests, Renee Marie and Patrick Yandel. We'll see you soon. Surprises coming up for you next week right here on Hyper Jazz from Trish Hennessy. It has been a blast. Thank you so much. Have a safe weekend. And please love one another while we have the time to love. God love you.